Dear Lord, thank you that we can come together and learn about your word. Pray that we can listen to it and take heed to what's being said. Okay, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and endurance, Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, and to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that they are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you.
So here's my big problem. The world is full of people trying to tell you something. You get those annoying people who try and teach you stuff even when you don't want them to. But I reckon if you ask someone something that they know stuff about, then they will try and teach you what they know. Pretty straightforward. The problem is, you get so many mixed messages from different people. It's hard to know where you actually stand on the matter yourself. To give an example, some people will try and teach you to save your money and to be as tight as you can, while others promote a live-for-the-moment approach. Some people reckon exercise is a waste of time. Other people live for it. Who teaches you how to live? As Christians, we have the best teacher, grace. Grace teaches us how to live. When it comes to romantic relationships, I know a lot of my non-Christian mates teach that a casual relationship gives you the best of both worlds, while others teach you that relationships are just a waste of time and they get in the way of Xbox with the boys. Well, I have Christian friends who are convicted to pursue romantic relationships with much thought and prayer, hoping to glorify God through them. See, all around there are people trying to chuck their two cents into the ring, thinking that their way is best, thinking that they've got it all figured out. As a Christian, I feel like I have a rough idea where I should stand on most of these debates. But what drives me to think that way? I suspect that more often than not, it's because that I think I've got it all sorted out, which is not what God's grace is all about. We're being taught today from Titus chapter 2. We're being taught how to live. But when you look closer, we're not only being taught how to live, but for what purpose. And that it's not something learnt through our own strength, it's learnt through something that has been done for us. But I want to ask you two questions. Who is the real teacher? Is it Paul? Is it Titus? Or is it someone else? And why are we being taught these things? To try and be good people, or as a response to something else? Well, the answer to both of these questions is God's grace. God's grace is the real teacher, and we are to live in response to God's grace. So keep your Bibles open at Titus chapter 2. In the previous chapter, we learnt that the damaging effects of poor teaching done for selfish gain. Now, in chapter 2, Titus is told by Paul to teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. What does that mean for us, to be taught by Titus? Well, no matter where we are in life, Titus has something to say about us, or something to say to us. Older men, from verse 2. Older men are asked to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, strong in faith, love, and endurance. Older men are being asked to be people with sound teaching, people to be looked up to. They're being asked not to be only to be wise, but to be approachable. Older men, are you these things? Or are you always annoyed that people around you are a bunch of idiots? I mean, even if that's true, how do you deal with it? Do you lose your cool? Do you write them off? Or do you try hard to love them? Do you still trust God? Or do you let the troubles of life get you down? Are you more concerned with your retirement fund and the treasures on earth? Or are you still enduring and storing up your treasures in heaven? Are you using your wealth, experience, wisdom, and maturity to love and teach others? Older women, verses 3 and 4. Older women are being taught to be upright in the way they live, so in turn they can help teach younger women. Older women are being taught to lead by example in the way they live, love, and serve. Older women, are you reverent in the way you live? Do you let fellowship with your friends turn into a big gossip session? Or are you more concerned with encouraging the younger women in the Lord and building them up? Us blokes can be pretty hard to love sometimes. Are you equipping young wives and teaching them how to love their husbands and children? Are you teaching them to be busy at home? Are you busy being busybodies? Younger women, from verse 4 and 5. Younger women are being taught to be busy at home, self-controlled and pure, submissive to their husbands. Young women are not being taught to be weak and a pushover. They're being taught to be strong and deliberate when it comes to their role in the family, and not just their immediate family, but the whole church family. Young women, are you trying to love your husbands and children? My kids and I are hard to love sometimes. We're demanding, we're rude, and we're selfish. Young mums, are you working hard to teach your kids how to be loving by the way you love them? Young wives, are you loving your husband, not only when he's being a legend, but when he's tired and grumpy and generally a pain in the bum? Titus is teaching you to roll up your sleeves and try. Young single women, are you trying to be self-controlled and pure? Have you got an older Christian lady as a mentor? Are you trying to be pure in the way you conduct your relationships? Are you using your time to actively help others and build God's kingdom? Young men are being taught to be self-controlled, from verses 6 to 8, to set an example by doing what is good, to be serious in their faith. Young men are being taught to know what they're on about, but not only that, to believe it and live by it. Young men, are you serious about your faith? Are you convicted by it? Do you have an accountability partner to help you stay away from porn on the net? If you catch up with mates, do you have a couple of quiet beers? Or do you hit it hard and end up with a sore head and an empty wallet? Do you know what God's word says about drunkenness? Do you pick up God's word when you have a spare 20 minutes? Or do you pray at quiet times in your day? Are you serious about your faith? Serious enough that when your non-Christian friends quiz you about it, you tell them with conviction what you believe? Or do you do what I do sometimes and give a half-hearted, safe answer and think of a way to change the subject? Do you roll up your sleeves and get serious about your faith? Young husbands, do you find pleasure in your wife, or do you go elsewhere to satisfy your lust of the flesh? When those guys at work or uni think that you're just some kind of Jesus freak, do they have to pause and actually shut their mouths because they've actually got nothing bad to say about you? Or do they think you're the biggest hypocrite under the sun? Slaves, from verses 9 to 10. Slaves are being taught to be subject to their master. Don't steal, show you can be trusted. Slaves, or workers, are being taught to be subject to their master, or bosses. Sure, slave is a dirty word, but in this context, we're just being taught to have integrity at work and show respect to the people in our lives that have some kind of authority over us. But our work culture is all about being a rights claimer. What can we get for nothing? If the boss is away, then the workers will play, right? So what if we add a couple of hours to our timesheet? The boss is making enough money out of us, right? Get away with as much as you can, because you've got to look after number one at the end of the day. Any of this sound familiar? It does to me. This attitude is embedded into our working culture, but it's not what Titus is teaching. We need to be subject to our bosses in everything. Not steal, not answer back. It's a great way to stand out at work in a good way. I know it's hard to believe sometimes, but our bosses actually need Jesus too. And they may come to know him through us. So instead of being a rights claimer, be a Christ proclaimer. No matter where you are in life, it's important to remember these things, but it's more important to remember that God's grace is the real teacher. Have a look at Titus chapter 2, 11 to 15. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Grace is the real teacher. It is what Titus is to teach us. Titus isn't preaching a works-based gospel. And if you feel like you don't fit into one of those categories above, it doesn't matter. All we need is to live by grace. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and yes to self-controlled, upright, godly lives. It sets us free from sin. It's grace that purifies us, dusts us off, and sets us apart. We are to try and live godly lives as a response to grace. Living apart from God's grace reminds me of camping holidays before we really knew what we were doing. I like camping, but sometimes I'd find it way more stressful than relaxing. We used to spend half the day packing the car and planning the trip, but no matter how hard we'd try, we'd always forget something. We arrived at the spot in the dark and had a nightmare setting up. Like, we slept like sardines in a tent with our stuff everywhere. I would end up having such a rough night's sleep. Camping in theory was awesome, but in reality, it sucked. This is similar to living apart from God's grace. It doesn't matter how much we try and live His way, we always fall flat on our face. Just like my best efforts at packing for camping, I could never quite get it right. When we try and live apart from God's grace, we seem to go backwards. He purifies us. We don't purify ourselves. Recently, we bought a camper trailer. This camper is like the grace of God. It makes our relaxing holiday a reality. Set up in 2 minutes, everything is stored in toolboxes, no more forgetting pillows. There is a pull-out kitchen and we stay dry when it's wet and warm when it's cold. Like God's amazing grace, it's idiot-proof. The camper trailer sets us free to relax, just like God's grace sets us free to live godly lives. Are you trying to live apart from God's grace? Do you think by doing all this stuff, you are in the good books? Or on the flip side, are you one of those people who don't even bother to flee from sin because you know Jesus has already bailed you out? Both of these responses are contrary to what we read here. It's God's grace that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no to worldly passions and ungodliness. If you're one of those people who are constantly beating yourself up because of the sin in your life, don't. Look at verse 14. Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Dust yourselves off and keep going. Don't live apart from God's grace. I'm finding it really helpful to remind myself that there is nothing I can do to make Jesus love me any more or any less. So when I get on my high horse and I think I'm going strong in my faith, or when I'm just struggling with sin to the point where I don't even know how anyone could love me, especially not God, I think to myself, my salvation isn't Jesus plus something. It's just Jesus. He can never love me any more or any less. The way I live is a response to me already being saved. If we let ourselves be taught by grace, we will learn grace and we will live by grace. We need to let grace be our teacher. So this passage is so practical. It teaches us such a concise list of ways to live. No matter where we find ourselves in life, Titus teaches us how to live. But the real teacher is God's grace, demonstrated through Christ. God's grace teaches us how to be godly. We are to live in response to God's grace. The reason that we are set apart is by God's grace through Christ, and it's that grace that has changed us. Titus is instructed by Paul to teach in accordance to sound doctrine. The way we live should magnify Christ. If we look at what God has done for us in Jesus, we are instantly reminded how to live as his new creation. The real teacher is God's grace demonstrated through Christ. If we want to be better at sports, we're inspired by great sportsmen. My wife is nowhere near as impressed as me when I show her a bloke deadlifting 3 times his own body weight. Just like I'm not impressed when Pippa repeatedly shows me videos of 4-year-olds doing a rendition of Frozen's Let It Go on YouTube. As Christians, we should let God's grace capture our hearts. Through what Jesus has done, we should be inspired. Because God's grace teaches us to be godly. And God has set us free to do all these things. So we're no longer conformed to the world, but to God. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that through your grace you have shown us how to live. And help us live for you because you died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.